Today, we're going to be talking about that Spirit and just what it does do in us. Because living by faith is receiving and living a new life. Jesus Christ is risen today. As we understand the reality of His resurrection into our lives, it does something to us and for us. It grants us the ability of that new life. So if you would, open your Bibles to the book of Romans in the 5th chapter. We're going to be beginning in verse 18. Now it's funny because we're continuing on in our service of just what it means to live by faith as we round out Lent here on this last day, this first day of Easter, and we begin to look at where we're going to be going, the direction that God wants us to live in compared to what was. Because as we looked at Lent, we understood that Lent is a time of looking at who we are, looking back and reflecting on where we've been, how short we have come, and how far we have yet to go. And then it's preparing ourselves to make those steps to move forward. Just as Christ was out in the wilderness and He saw the things that could hold Him back, so too we have seen the things that can hold us back. And we need to live by faith. Amen? Amen. For in faith living, we find the power of God for this new life that we're going to read here today from the 18th verse of the 5th chapter of the book of Romans. So then, as through one transgression there resulted condemnation to all men, even so through one act of righteousness there resulted justification of life to all men. For as through the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, even so through the obedience of the one, the many will be made righteous. The law came in so that the transgression would increase. But where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace would reign through the righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Blessed be the word of the Lord. This first portion that we're going to be reading here, we've got to look at this verse 19 to grab from it the basis, the foundation material of what it means to live this new life and why we have it. For as through one man's disobedience the many were made sinners. This is speaking of Adam, the first man, the first woman, Adam and Eve. It's accredited unto Adam that he sinned. Well, I think that's a theological conundrum, because there were two of them there at the beginning, weren't there? And the two became one. And guess what happened when one of them sinned? They both sinned. And we need to understand that. I like to understand that. That way I can blame some of this stuff on my wife. Poor lady. Yeah, you're all looking at me like, holy cow, I can't believe you just said that. That's okay. She knows me, and I know her. And neither one of us are right. But we rub off on each other. The good from her comes onto me, and the good from me comes onto her. Perhaps not so much going that way. But the reality is we need each other to get through this. And if Adam and Eve would have relied upon each other, we probably wouldn't be in this situation. No, we'd be in this situation because we still sin. And they sinned. And in that sin, this is my point, we have all sinned. For that sin changed the genetic makeup of every human being from that time till this, and death entered into the equation. But God would not let it sit. God could not have it that way, because we were created for a love relationship. Now, some people may think that, you know, oh, God didn't see sin coming. Oh, no, God saw sin coming. Because according to the Scriptures, it says, before the foundations of the earth, Jesus Christ crucified. So before one thing came into existence, Jesus was already in eternity, hanging on the cross over all of it, pouring out his blood over all of it. It was being sanctified every day from the moment the first word was spoken, even unto today, for those who would believe. And that's key, because not everybody gets to heaven. There are going to be so many people that when they get to the other side of life, they're going to be disappointed because they believed a lie. For it is only those who believe by faith. Faith in what? Verse 19. For as through one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, even so through the obedience of the one, many will be made righteous. The one that is being spoken of there is Jesus Christ, who on Easter Sunday rose from the dead, triumphant over the grave, for the grave could not hold him. And all of heaven rejoiced in that day, and we rejoice in it even yet, for he is the propitiation of our sins. He is the sacrificial lamb who died on our behalf, and poured out his blood, broke his body, that we would be able to eat and drink and have communion with God once again. To come back into that place where as the body of Christ, we can have communion with him once again. So today we take that communion to the next level where we get to sit here and worship God and love him simply because he loved us. Despicable human beings who are sinners by nature, but are saints through nurture. Please understand that. Our nature makes us sinners, but the nurture of God, the love of God poured out to each and every one of us, gives us the hope of the glory of the gospel. Look what he says in verse 20. The law came in so that the transgression would increase. You see, God knew that as he showed us, because that's what the law does, it shows us sin. Because we were so ignorant of sin, we didn't even know what sin was. So he gave us the law. And the law showed us where sin was. And where the law came in, sin abounded all the more. It increased and increased and increased. And I've spoken this so many times to my folks here at church, and I'm going to speak it again, not only the folks here at church, but to the entire world out there that's listening and watching through the internet now. What would Jerusalem look like today if every sinner that sits in the church pews went to Jerusalem to sacrifice an animal? Could you imagine the river of blood that would be pouring out from the temple area? Could you imagine the screams of the lambs? Because to have how many millions of Christians there today having to sacrifice a lamb that this day, what would it sound like? Could you imagine the screams? Could you imagine the smell? Could you imagine the multitudes of people? And how horrifying it would truly be. But by the grace of God, he said, I don't want that. I don't want the sacrifice of animals. I want righteous lives. I want you to live holy. So he made a way. And the way that he made was through his Son, Jesus Christ. So that as sin reigned in death, even so, grace would reign through righteousness to eternal life. And what is that grace? It is the grace that we do not have to sacrifice anymore. It is the grace that God paid a price that humankind could not pay. Because as soon as we got done sacrificing at the temple on Easter Sunday, and we went to the restaurant and we complained about the bill or the waitress or whatever, guess where we'd have to go again? Right back to the temple. To pay the price all over again. And I dare say for some of us here today, as we leave the parking lot and somebody pulls out in front of us, where would we have to go again? We'd have to turn right back around, go buy another lamb and sacrifice it up again. I think not many of us would even make it home, because we would be sacrificing that many lambs in one day. But the eternal Lamb of God, through grace, has poured out for us that we can stand not in ourselves, not in our righteousness, but in His righteousness, that we may take upon ourselves His goodness, His love, His mercy, and receive it daily as we need it by the moment. How many of us need grace every moment of every day? Oh, every saint that has ever lived. Because none of us, no, not one, are good. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And I dare say, if we truly were honest with ourselves, the greatest gift that was ever given to us is the grace of Jesus Christ. The love of God found in His Son. So today we're here to celebrate that very reality. We're here to lift up that life that has been given to us and take count of it. So let us turn to the 6th chapter and let us read again from verse 1. He says, "What then shall we say? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into His death? Therefore we have been buried with Him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so too we might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with Him in the likeness of His death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with Him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is free from sin." When you and I understand and come into the reality that Christ's payment is that for each and every one of us, that all of us have fallen short, and that He paid this price for us and has given us the hope of glory, therefore, what is the therefore? Therefore, to tell us how we ought be, okay? People, we need to understand, every time you see a therefore, who's He talking to? Me. Everybody say that. Every time there's a therefore, who's He talking to?
Me.
Isn't that amazing? We read the therefore, and we think that's what it's there for. It's there for me. We have been buried with Him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so too we might walk in what? Newness of life. You and I have been given a new life. The old is gone, the new has come. And we need to walk in that reality. We need to remember the slate is clean. Okay? The slate is clean. There is nothing written on the slate of your life when you have accepted Christ. God says, do over. And if God says do over, do you think anything from before is remembered? Isn't it amazing? Because when we say to our spouses or to our children, okay, you get a do over here, the next time they get in trouble, what do? We remember everything they ever did. We don't forget anything. I think it's one of the most amazing phenomena in the face of history. The older we get, the more we forget until we get mad. Then everything's remembered. I think it's one of the most amazing things. You know, I used to hang around my great-grandmother. God bless her. My great-grandma Dickie. Ask me about that name sometime. You'll love the story. It's funny because her name was Blanche. We called her Dickie. And when she was about, I'm going to say 74, 76, something like that, we were having a family get-together. We always got together for Thanksgiving, Easter, Christmas. You know, you all do that. How many of you are going out there today to meet family and have a good meal? Okay, yeah, it's a good thing. Easter should be about family. We're the family of God. Why do we gather together? To partake of a meal. We just had the best meal of the day. But anyhow, Dickie was there with the family, and we started talking, and she started complaining about Paul. That was my great-grandfather, okay? His name was Emery. He's Russell's namesake, Russell Emery Dubs, okay? He's named after Grandpa and a great-grandpa. But Emery, Paul, sat there on the other side of the room, just shook his head, and he said, "She can't remember where she puts things, but she can remember that stuff." I thought it was hilarious, because these are two of the most loving people I had ever met in my life, okay? Except when it came to each other. They loved each other dearly, but they knew each other so intimately well, and they were so much of each other's story that they loved to tell it, especially the dumb things, okay? And in our lives, how many of us have done dumb things? How many of them in Christ Jesus does God remember? None. He doesn't even bring it up. He remembers it no more. When we confess it to Him, it has not happened in His mind. The only mind it continues to happen in is whose? Ours, because we're stuck in this flesh. You and I need to remember this reality that we're given here, that if we become united with Him in the likeness of His death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection. We have that new life. The old is gone. You see, when Christ went down into hell, and yes, He went down into hell. People think, oh no, when He went down into Sheol, He went to Abraham's bosom. No, He didn't. How could He get the keys of life and the keys of Hades and death from Satan if He didn't go to hell? That's a reality. Why did He go to hell? He was a righteous man. Because He took our sin there. And that's where He left it. How do you think Satan felt when Jesus showed up all beaten, all battered, all messed up with all our sin on Him, probably looking more grotesque than Satan himself? And all of a sudden, He just stood there and shook it off. And out from underneath of all of that began to shine the Shekinah glory of God Himself. Because guess who showed up in hell? The Savior of the world, the Son of God, in His full deity. And Satan shuddered, because he who thought he had won, who thought he had killed the Savior of the world, finally realized the battle was over. And victory, victory, victory is the cross of Christ for every believer. And on that cross, our Savior died. But He didn't stay there, did He, people? Because He's no longer on that cross. What does that cross represent to us? The love of God in Christ Jesus. That He rose from the grave. And that He gives us new life. Just as He has that new life. Living a righteous life. And if He is our head and we are His body, we are one with Him. And whose righteousness have we? The righteousness of Jesus Christ. And in that righteousness, He says, go, do, be Christ to the world. Don't forget who you are and whose you are and what you've been paid with and what it cost. Who? God. 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 He paid our price that we may live anew. And as we live that new life, this is what He tells us. He says, now, from verse 8, now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Jesus Christ. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies that you obey its lusts, and do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourself to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under law, but under grace, grace, beautiful grace. Grace that will wash away all our sins. Grace, grace, wonderful grace. Oh, brothers and sisters, if we would understand what that word grace means to God and what it truly means to each and every one of us, what it affords us, we would understand that death is no more for us. Now, people look at me and they say, what do you mean, Pastor, we're all going to die? Yeah, physically. If you are in Christ Jesus, there is one death that you will see. Death in this physical body. Now, if the rapture occurs, guess what? You never die. Not even once. And I'm waiting for that day. I am waiting for that day when the trumpet blasts and people fall down. But you know what? Before that blast even gets done resounding, we'll be out of here. We will have checked out, ticket punched, you know, whatever you want to say. We don't even have to wait for the last call, because at the first call, we're out of here. In the blink of an eye, it says in the book of Thessalonians, it says in the twinkling of an eye. How fast does an eye twinkle? We are out of here. Why? Because Christ Jesus paid a price for us. He gave us the hope of glory, and he still gives that hope of glory for everyone who would believe. If you're here with us today and this is your first time in church, or you've been in church many other times, I want you to think about what I'm talking about here, folks. I want you to understand that there is a gift here for you today, a gift of glory, a gift of love, a gift of grace that says, I know where you were and I know where you're going to be. But if you come to Christ, he will change your destiny. He can give you the hope of glory that you will never, ever have to die, but live eternally with Christ Jesus. Your sins forgiven. But then we have to change our lives, don't we? Because he gives us that clean slate. He says, now, live for me. Because one of the things we need to realize is he says, if you love me, you will do as you want. If you love me, you will obey my commands. Isn't that an amazing thing? If you love me, he doesn't tell you, I'm forcing you to do this. He says, if you love me, there's a response, because we're with him. There's a response that says, I'm going to do what I need to do, not because I have to, but because I want to. When we think of verse 10 here, look at what verse 10 says. It says, for the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. We need to remember that we are part of Christ. If we are in him, we are part of Christ. How can we live to sin if the head of the body is living to righteousness? In the same way, he speaks to us and he says that we are not to offer up the members of our body. Okay? We know here that we're in Christ, but why does this stuff, well, I like to put it this way. We know in here that we belong to Christ, but something gets discombobulated between here and here. And then it gets all fouled up when it gets out here. God says that we are the members of his body. We are in Christ Jesus, the body of Christ. And so too, we should not sin in anything that we do. So don't let your body sin. He says it's better to enter heaven minus an eye or an arm. So in other words, pluck out your eye. That's spiritually, folks, you know, please don't. But pastor told me to lop my arm off. Spiritually, take it off, okay? Which means when your hand starts reaching towards that thing, what should you do? Deny. Deny the self. Don't allow the self to rise above your God. Remember who God is and what He paid for you. Because every time you sin willingly, every time we sin willingly, we put Christ back on the cross. Excuse me? He's not there anymore. He died how many times? Once. Let us not put Him back on that cross. Let us love Him with the love that He loved us with. Let us love Him with the joy that's in our hearts. Now, I'm going to say to you, and you all know this, how many of you are going to go out from here today and you're going to sin? It's going to happen. I'm not giving you an excuse, because Paul says, should we go on sinning then? Absolutely not. May it never happen. I like that, because the new translation that I'm using here, NASB, I love it, because it says, may it never be. That's pleading into the future. May it never be. Why? Because my soul longs to be right with the Lord. You know, Paul says we struggle against ourselves. The things I ought do, I don't do, and the things that I should do, those things I don't do, that's the do-do verse, right? We're constantly warring with ourselves. But let us remember that through Christ Jesus we have the victory. He has given us the strength and the power through the Holy Spirit to understand and know that life is good, that you are free from that sin which wants to tangle you up. You do not have to submit to it. But who must submit to the Spirit of God in order not to sin? We have to make that conscious choice, don't we? That's what he means when he says, lop off that arm, take out that eye. It's better not to have it than to die in our sins. Today, I want us to remember that Jesus Christ died for us, and he's risen from the grave. Up from the grave he arose. We sung it. Do our lives speak it? You know, on Sunday morning, it's so amazing because you walk up to people and you'll say, he's risen. And they'll respond, now let me ask you something. Tomorrow, is he risen? Yesterday, has he risen? 3 months from now, has he risen? How do we need to live our lives? Let us live the life that is new for each and every one of us. For he has risen. And that life is yours in Christ Jesus. Would you pray with me today? Father God, we love you so much, because as we believe by faith, as we stand on faith, understanding that the law and the prophets all spoke to us, and Father God, you summed it up through your Son who said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your might, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself, for in these two hang all the laws and the prophets. So too, Lord, we come understanding that you have given us this new life, that we can love in this way, that we can make a difference in this world because we have new life and sin no longer holds us. But we must live by faith, holding fast to the cross of glory and remembering, Lord, that you are no longer on it, that you are risen from the grave, and that you are seated in heaven where you have seated each and every one of us, for we are there with you even now, though we long for the day. For Lord God, we know that in this day you are alive, for you have risen, and you have risen indeed. May it be so in each of our lives. And the church says,
Amen. You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.